Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kinman and Lisa Whiston, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Sustainable You podcast. You're here with Jackie.
And Lisa.
We're going to touch on a couple of things today and go back to the good old fashioned chat that we do.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of episodes with interviews and we're trying to sort of rotate between us talking about stuff and us talking with others about stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So today it's going to be around food waste and ways to minimise that. But before we get into that, we just wanted to remind people or let them know, if you don't know already, that Zali Steggall, the MP for Warringah, has tabled a really good climate change bill in, she's put it to Parliament and it will be tabled officially on the 23rd of March. And it's awesome because it basically gives the federal government a timeline and a goal to aim towards. So instead of making it about party politics and kind of pussyfooting around whether or not climate change exists and, you know, whether or not we're going to meet our Paris Agreement targets, it basically says that we want to, no matter what the cause of it is, we want to reduce our carbon emissions to net zero by 2050. And this bill outlines sort of like a pathway for us all to get there. It's a fantastic bill. You can find out more about it. We'll post some links, but you can go to Zali Steggall. I think it's just .com.au, but even if you just Google her, she'll have her bill tabled there that you can read.
Which is the Australian Climate Change Bill 2020. I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah. But the main thing that you guys can do is if you support this bill, you can go to climateactnow.com.au and register your name in support of the bill. Because what will happen is she's calling on all politicians to support the bill regardless of the party line, and it won't get up unless everybody contacts their MP, and you can do so via that website to let them know that as a constituent in their electorate, you're calling on them to support the bill. Mm. So it's something really awesome and powerful that you guys can do straight away. So go now, do that, and then come back and listen.
Okay. So we thought that it would be a good opportunity to have a dive deeper into a little bit about like things around into the home, around food waste.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the very first episodes that we released last year, we talk about sorting your bins and, you know, all that sort of stuff and minimizing what you send to landfill, I guess.
Yeah.
And as most people know, I rarely put out my landfill bin, and that's something that I've been working towards doing for, it's taken me a few years to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it still surprises people to, you know, to sort of say like, what do you mean you don't put out your bin? I mean, sometimes I do just to, there might be a couple of things in there, but quite often we'll come back with someone who's chucked in an early morning dog poo bag after it's been emptied.
Oh, lovely.
I know. So then you kind of have to put it out because it does get a bit stinky. But anyway, I'm not sifting through that bin once there's a dog poo bag in there. Sorry. Look, you know. So we thought that we'd go into a little bit further around food waste. It's a really big and important topic because if you're sending food to landfill to rot, it basically it omits carbon.
No, it emits methane.
Methane, that's
And the methane word. Is 20 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in their greenhouse capabilities.
Yes. So Mary hasn't given us our stats.
Oh, that's a stat. I know
that is a stat. And I put a stat up from on our Facebook page or something like that around that food waste sort of stuff and how, you know, that just there are ways to minimise that. And we just wanted to dive into that a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So some of the ways that I do it in my household is that like each week I get part of me is thinking, I'm thinking twofold really, because part of me is thinking about minimizing like the food that I, like excess food that I might send to landfill, because I just don't want to do that. I don't want to put anything into that landfill, let alone putting in food into that sort of thing, because I feel like that food can have a second life.
Yeah.
and or a second bite, I guess. And then I'm also thinking about what other ways that I'm making, producing waste. So I could buy everything in packages and I could, you know that that won't, that a lot of that won't get wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to bring a lot of like plastic or then have to fill up the recycle bin in lieu of filling up the general landfill bin. Does
so
that make sense?
Yeah, it's a consideration of how we bring food into our homes and then what food goes out of our homes.
Yes, yes. I'm always kind of thinking about the end idea. A lot of the time I'm trying to anyway.
Thinking about the end. That's depressing.
I don't mean it like that. I'm thinking about like, well, what happens when I... Like I buy this in a box, what happens to the box? You know, I buy this in a plastic wrapper, what happens to the wrapper?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of the ways that I just focus on a little bit of how I purchase things. So I get a weekly organic box that I often share with everybody around from Parky Grocer, and that comes and there's no packaging in that, right? So on a Tuesday I get that, and then that kind of helps me to then do my little bit of my meal planning for the week, because sometimes I don't necessarily know what's going to go into that box, what's going to come in that box, sorry. So, you know, some weeks I might think that there's going to be something and then it doesn't happen because there might be a shortage at the farms.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that Tuesday night when I get it, I use that as a bit of my meal prep of like, right, what meals are going to make for the week.
Right.
And then on the Wednesday morning, I might go to I've got a wholesaler that I go to in Moorabbin, and I might just get the individual bits and pieces that I know that I've missed out on in that box. So nothing there, that I might have some rubber bands, but I put that back into the box. So there's not really any waste as that. Everything goes back to either Parky Grocer, they pick it up the next week, and then any food that I don't, you know, I try and then use all of that food as part of my weekly kind of meal prep plan. So I think that one of the key things to do is look at your meal prep.
Sure.
So have a think about what you're doing through the week, like are there activities, you know, that you have? Do you work late? You know, what days are you going to be able to cook more? You know, that sort of stuff. So Tuesdays, for example, I kind of do the Parky Grocer box doesn't come until late afternoon. So I then do a Tuesday morning, what have I got left in the cupboard, in the fridge, to cook up now, so that I know that I can then have the fresh space for the fresh produce, because I do believe that you need to store produce appropriately, like putting them into Tupperware containers, you know, that sort of stuff. Otherwise it wilts and it gets rotten and it goes, you know, like it doesn't last as long just by sitting in the fridge.
Yeah. Actually, that's something that I have found too, because I switched over to those, what do you call them, like those netting bags for produce rather than using the plastic bags that you get on the rolls at the shops. I realised at the start I was just popping them straight into the crisper, but because they let too much air flow through, all of my vegetables were lasting 2 days and then they were like soft and horrible. So I went and bought a couple of glass containers just from Kmart actually, that have those special vents on top that allow a little bit of air in, but whatever, they keep all the vegetables really fresh.
Mm.
So it is worth investing in those kinds of products to keep your food fresh for longer.
Yep.
It's amazing to me, like I could get 2 weeks out of snow peas because of that.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Spinach leaves, you know, the best trick for spinach leaves is you put them in a salad spinner.
Okay.
So you know how like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't have one of them.
So maybe go to an op shop and check out and see if you can find one.
Okay, I'm on the hunt.
Because they keep them fresh, like they'll keep them those spinach leaves fresh for a week, or you can just put them into a really good sealed plastic container.
Yeah.
Tupperware-y kind of container too. We go through heaps of spinach in my household.
Yeah.
So quite often I'll have like a Tupperware container filled and a salad spinner thing filled with them. But just around working out, okay, how do I store that the best way to keep that fresher?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff. So it doesn't end up being a really floppy carrot.
Yeah.
And then you go, bummer. You know, I mean, look, for us, we've got chickens. So if you do have stuff that does go floppy and, you know, like that sort of stuff, I mean, at least the chickens can then, you can give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, you know, is that I try not to kind of go, oh, well, that's just for the chickens. You know, like, I mean,
you want to
use up stuff. It's there. It's fresh produce.
Yeah.
It needs to be kind of used. So I have tried making like things when I do a purchase of stuff, I do kind of go like, okay, can I just make that myself? You know, things like that to chuck into the kids' lunches and, you know, that sort of stuff. A little cupcakes are always good. Like I try and add in like maybe some veg or something, sneak them in, like some, you know, zucchini or carrot or, you know, that sort of stuff. But I have looked at this year, I was like, okay, right, I need to cut out the individual muesli bars that are wrapped in a soft plastic that I can, you know, then put in and goes to Redcycle, all that sort of stuff. But that's one of the things that I noticed I've got a bit of is the muesli bars. And we go through like at least one or two a day.
Yeah.
So I attempted to make them myself, which
my kids, were delicious. I enjoyed them.
Thank you. That's not what my kids said. Then I also tried to make my own Ritz crackers.
Yeah, how'd that go?
They almost taste like shortbread.
Yeah.
So a little bit different. And then they were also maybe a little bit too salty.
Okay.
You know. So I tried it. Harvey actually kind of liked them. James wouldn't even look at them.
I mean, Arnott's have probably been doing it for a while.
Yeah, so they've really mastered and nailed that recipe, haven't they? Yeah. Maybe I need to attempt a few more goes, do you think?
Probably. Give yourself a bit of a go.
So my point for this is, right, that there are a lot of things you could do from scratch, but I feel like this sustainable, zero waste, minimal waste, you know, sort of journey, you need to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah, right? Big time. Because, like, you are talking about meal planning. I don't think I've meal planned in my house since 2007. So, which was before I got married and had kids. I just don't enjoy cooking. I will do anything I can to get out of it. I'll buy the bare minimum and then I'll whinge because there's nothing in my fridge to create a meal with. And so when I go shopping, I am the prime person that overbuys stuff because I don't want to go shopping again and have this problem. And then I often find that I will have to give a lot of stuff to my chickens or, worst case scenario, throw meat out if I don't freeze it. And I'm being honest because I'm not perfect and this is a big opportunity for me to be better at that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try, and if I haven't cooked something meat-wise, I'll chuck it in my freezer. But the problem is that my freezer is so full now and I very rarely, I'm not organized enough to think I'll go back to my freezer and pull out meat in the morning to cook a meal that night because I ain't thinking about cooking in the morning. It's like the last thing on my mind. So that's always a New Year's resolution for me is to do better in the cooking department and think about food and that kind of thing better.
Yeah.
I have made small changes, like from especially with kids' snacks. I've always recently tried to pick products if I'm buying them and not making them that will have the least amount of packaging as possible.
Mm.
So, you know, like a big packet of shapes as opposed to buying a bag of 16 snack packs.
Mm.
And I'll just put them into their lunch boxes, into the compartments themselves.
Mm.
So that's kind of like step one for me, but I'd love to be able to get to the point where I'm making more things for their lunch boxes too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I think that that's just a story for like, and that's what's good about us is that we're not saying that, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I've worked on it and that's been a really conscious thing for me to work on for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Like I hate throwing stuff out. I hate, you know, thinking, well, I should have done that better. Like I'm just constantly, so I've just worked on it slowly. On that, what I was saying was, yeah, I could start cooking everything from scratch, but there is just not enough hours in the day.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's hard enough cooking a meal at nighttime.
Yeah, that's, you know, well
like
balanced.
That's well, and, you know, like yeah. trying to get, oh, how many vegetables are the kids got in? You know, like all that sort of worry, let alone, you know, worrying about how much plastic I've put out into the world and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I think we just need to be realists in this scenario is that we are busy. The kids have a lot more things I feel like they have a lot more things scheduled nowadays, after school activities, all that sort of stuff. Like where are you meant to find that time to do that sort of stuff? Like you can't put too much pressure on yourself and then get, you know, really mad and disheartened. So for you, my advice, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Is just to go look into your freezer and kind of go, okay, what have I got? And kind of think about the next 4 weeks. Yeah. Can I start taking one thing out of that freezer every week and start producing a little bit less? Can I start reducing what's in my freezer? So instead, what's going to go into your freezer is already cooked meals.
Yes.
So tonight, for example, when I get home, I've already got a spaghetti bolognese sauce that I made last week.
Jackie.
That's packaged. It's in a container.
Yes.
All I've got to do is cook some pasta. Yeah.
My girlfriend Michelle does that too.
So you just cook extra. And then before you serve it to the kids, you actually put that aside so that they don't end up eating all of it, and then you kind of have to every single night you have to cook a meal.
All right, okay, I promise.
It's just a little tip. It's my e-course, you know.
Thanks. Thank you.
So this is just a quick little episode. I don't know if there's much more that I would share around that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just that it's interesting once you use what you've got, you know, you kind of my Tuesday before I restock that fridge on a Tuesday is my fridge is pretty much empty and then it's filled. And then it gets emptied. Whereas I don't think it gets emptied by it gets actually eaten and used. We don't eat a lot of meat. I mean, I've minimized the amount that we have in our house, but no one seems to notice in my house. It's quite interesting. You know, I might have some stuff that is frozen and then I just pull it out and then I work out that plan of action, or I buy it on the day and then just cook it up straight away.
Well, maybe if any of our listeners have some good tips, send them through to me and get me on this food organization journey.
Yeah, I'll try and do a dot point thing for you, Lise.
Okay.
That you can share.
Please do.
We hope that you've enjoyed this little kind of snapshot of one way to help to lessen your impact on the environment and the emissions that you put out there, minimise your carbon footprint, I guess.
Yeah. And don't forget to go to climateactnow.com.au to put your name to this petition that Zali's put forward as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope you enjoyed this episode and we look forward to releasing another episode over the next couple of weeks where we help and support you to become
a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.